The impetus for tonight's shiur was the question is your seder is the suda is many hours after Shabbos starts for many people, some people not, but for many people yes. A and B. Some along the way, you're going to have to feed the kids, so you want to take the food. You're doing situations of chazorah, which even though there are halachas of returning an item, etc., we don't necessarily normally do that. It's not a very common thing to do, but here in a situation where you're clearly being, a good chance you're getting involved in chazorah. So I want to go through some potential ways of keeping the food hot, which are luckily valid, and ones which are not, and what would allow you to do chazorah or not. So let's just, there's a page which says the Seder menu. So we're going to work with a potential Seder menu. I'm not recommending it necessarily. This should be your menu, but you could look at it. So the first thing, the first item, which is person will be serving the hard-boiled eggs is not relevant to you because you're not keeping them hot. So I'm ignoring that part. And the ice cream at the end of the meal also is not really so important either. So chicken soup is a liquid, and that's going to have its halachas of a liquid. Now, the second one is brisket with significant sauce or chicken with significant sauce. That's a wet salad. Now, why am I saying significant sauce? Because there's a halacha. We don't do roasted on the night of the Seder. The Mishnah Berurah says not only do not do roasted, we do not do what's called slikater. Slikater is that it's pot roast, literally, which means it's in some type of a container. It's not directly over the fire. It's in a pot, but there's minimal liquid. So that's also something which you don't use the night of the Seder. So if you'd be doing something with, you know, a lot of, you know, I think historically used to use boiled chicken by the Seder, but nobody does that anymore. So I wrote that originally. My wife said nobody does that anymore, so I took that off. But that's the idea. Okay. Carrot simis. Suggestions, carrot simis. Carrot simis can be a wet or a dry solid. Now, what's my point about that? Because we'll see when discussed in the halachas of bishul, there's a difference in halacha between something which is a liquid, which we have bishul achar bishul. Reheating it would be problematic halachically. And by a solid, reheating it once it's fully cooked is not a halacha of bishul. So, okay. You name it, you take it. Ooh, take two of these. Okay. So for example, so let's say a ratatouille, which is, that's how you spell it, by the way, the next line. So that usually has, I think most people make it, there's a significant amount of liquid. So Moshe says, where do you draw the line called what's called solid and what's called liquid in regards to the issue of bishul after bishul? Obviously, if something is clearly liquid, like a chicken soup, obviously that's obvious. But even if you have a solid, if there's enough liquid that it can pour off independently, that's considered that has the status of a liquid. In regards to the lochos of bishul achar bishul, reheating it. Whereas if it's just a minimal amount, it's moist, in other words, but it's not a large amount of liquid, it has the status of a solid in regards to the reheating. So that's why, so carrot simis either, usually I would assume would be a dry solid, at least the way I picture carrots, your simis, but some people have simis with more liquid in it, so it might be a wet. So that depends how you make that. Ratatouille usually is more potato cooker usually is dry. Ice cream is obviously no cooking issues. Okay, so that's the potential menu we're going to be dealing with. We're going to go through how we're going to keep these things hot and how we're going to do chazorah with them. The next issue is we're assuming over here that all these foods will want to be served at least twice. You don't have to do that, but that's what I'm trying to address. Number two, we're assuming that the food will be served as hot as halachically possible. Number three, we want the food not to be served burnt. Right? That's our goal. So then the heating options we're going to talk about is inside the oven, on the range top, with and without a blech, using a hot plate, which is called a plata, a crock pot. The last two are not really relevant, they're not really going to keep anything hot. I just want to talk about the lochas on top of the percolator, on top of a pot which has food in it, and insulating from before Shabbos, which again would not be really relevant, there's one relevant point about that. Number seven, theoretically, a person could do this if they want. If you have a good old house with a radiator, the steam radiators, you could heat up your food on top of the radiator. Halachically, it's a valid option. Halachically, I doubt you're going to be doing that. Okay. That was the most of the b'dichas for this year tonight. That is there. Now, just one quick point. I want to go through review the halachas of chazorah. So if a person leaves food on the fire before Shabbos and he takes it off on Shabbos, he's allowed to return it assuming that he meets five conditions. The first condition has to be fully cooked. If the food is not fully cooked, you cannot return it back on the fire, because then you're cooking it on Shabbos. That's a question of an issur of the Torah. Number two, it has to be still warm. So if it's a liquid which has cooled off totally, we hold that reheating a liquid is considered an act of cooking it anew, and that's a problem on Shabbos. If it's a dry solid, so it's not, once it's fully cooked, it's not considered cooking it anew when you put it back. However, that might be true for the halachas of bishul, but besides the issue of bishul, of cooking, we also are concerned about that Chazal wanted this to be considered an extension, a continuation of your original placing of the food on the stove. So if it's lost all of its original heat, it's not an extension anymore. It's not a continuation, because that act of having it on the fire is totally ended. It's now dry. It's now cool. And then I put it back. I'm reheating it. It's a new act of placing it. So that's going to be required. It has to be still warm. How warm is warm? So it doesn't have to be yatsa lettuce, but it doesn't have to be piping hot. It has to be warm enough that people who would say, I have a warm dish to eat. It's warm enough that people would consider they're getting the benefit of the warmth. The flame has to be covered. That's your blech, etc. And number four and number five is when you take it off, you should plan to return it, and you should not let go of it. One more point, which I didn't put on the chart, those are the famous five conditions for chazora, for returning it. You cannot return it inside of an oven. You can't do chazora to inside of an oven. And the same thing on that page also, there's the three areas of the blech. So a person has a fire, has their let's say, gas stove, gas range top, or even electric range top, and you put your metal blech on top of it. So directly over the fire is area number A. Area B is not directly over the fire, but the food which will be in a pot, you put a pot there, the food will warm to the temperature of Yatza Ledespa. It's hot enough, the heat is the metal is conducting the heat enough that the food will heat up to Yatza Ledespa. And number three is an area which the food will not heat to Yatza Ledespa. It's area number C. And then we'll talk about the difference between areas A, B, and C when we go through the chart. Okay, so that is... that is the preconditions of what we're going to deal with. Now, give me 1 second. On the back of one of these sheets, I wrote my notes. Okay. Let's go through some of the potential culinary options that my wife for me about that you might want to use to keep your food warm. And then we'll go through the chart and see if they work or not. So a great idea would theoretically be, I'll take the food, so Shabbos, let's say for argument's sake, Pesach time, the Shabbos Shkia will be about 8 o'clock, just a little bit before 8 o'clock, and you're not going to be eating the meal till 12, right? So that's, you're putting it in at 7:30, and you're not going to be taking the food out to eat until 12. So theoretically, I could take it directly out of the freezer, put it into the oven at 7:30, fully frozen, put it at, 250, and by the time by 12 o'clock, it'll be hot. Is that a valid option? So that's one option we're going to talk about. Okay, the second option we're going to talk about is... So I'll take my roast and I'll put it in 1/3 cooked. So it's 1/3 cooked. I'm allowed to put it in. We know that look. If the food is partially cooked, it's 1/3 cooked. So I can put it in. Say, so I have a 4-pound brisket. Put it at 250 for 4 hours. 1/3 cooked. In 4 hours from now, you'll have a fully cooked full brisket. Nice, piping hot, fresh brisket. Is that an option which we can do? Chicken would be, my wife said it would take about 2 hours. All of the details, if you want the exact details, you have to contact my wife. 4 hours at 250 in a proper roasting pan, enamel or Pyrex, not an aluminum pan, which is disposable. We'll talk about that. Okay. If you set it in, my wife promises you, if you take any food at 2, you set your oven for 240, and you put it into aluminum pans, you can say that for a few hours and it will not burn. Even your cocoa will not burn at 240 if it's in aluminum pans. Okay. Now you want to take out for your children and put it back. So but that, you know, you can't put it back into the oven. So I'm going to take it out. I'm going to make two separate pans. One pan for what I'm using for the meal. One pan I'm using for the kids. Okay.
Can you open it in the oven?
We'll get to open it in the oven. Okay. I have it on the blech. They said the soup is on the blech, and I want to set it, keep the soup on a low simmer. That it should stay hot. So that is an option how to keep the food hot. Plata. I can leave food on the plata. Again, if it's, you want to know how long can it stay there before it dries out, etc. You should probably experiment beforehand. Can you take food directly from the fridge 2 hours into Shabbos and, you know, it's fully cooked, it's dry, and put it on the plata? You know, we'll talk about those halachas. I want to use the crock pot. Okay, I'm eating out Shabbos day. I'm not making a cholent. I'm not using my crock pot for cholent. And nowadays they have apparently there's a crock pot which comes with three different crocks. You know, so I could put one. You know, one crock for would be the cholent. I'm making a small cholent. I'm not having a lot of guests, and I'll use the other one for the chicken soup. Right. So what issues would you have by doing that? You have a question. Issues you have to aware when you're doing that. So those are some of the potential options we're going to go through tonight. Again, if you have other ones, I can't vouch for the culinary aspect of them, but I can try to deal with the halachic aspect of it. Okay. Okay. So to take your chart, which has the food and heating option chart on it, and start with number one is using the oven. Okay, so the first issue you have dealing with the oven is if any of your food inside the oven is not fully cooked, so you can open the oven door, but you can't close it. Because when you close the oven door, you're right now when the oven door is open, a lot of the heat dissipates, so the food will cook very slowly, if at all. When you shut the door, you're going to be speeding the cooking process of the food which is not fully cooked. So if any of your food is not fully cooked, you have a problem. You can't shut your door. So if you want to leave food for Friday night in the oven together with your cholent for Shabbos day, and the cholent for Shabbos day is not fully cooked, and you're going to have a problem. You can open up the oven, but you can't shut it. So you have to be aware of that. That any food that you're leaving in the oven, if you want to use the oven, that it has to be fully cooked. If you're just trying to take everything out one shot, so you know, the fact that it's not fully cooked is not, you know, you don't want to serve it like that, but it won't be a problem with cooking. Thermostat issues with ovens. So Rav Moshe Zatzal held that opening an oven door, even though you're causing the thermostat, so when you open the door, cold air comes in or cool air comes in, it causes the fire to turn on. Rav Moshe held that was not a problem. Rav Moshe Zatzal held that was not a problem. The issue of causing it to turn on is not a problem. Otherwise, and if you have a masarel otherwise in your posting, that's fine. Just I usually follow the Pesach Rav Moshe on that. Okay, so those are two issues you want to think about before you even discuss how to heat up your food in there. One more point I just want to mention along the lines of shutting the door is called cooking. You should be aware, covering a pot which is not fully cooked. You know, a person takes a pot out, really it's not fully cooked. You can't put it back, or even if you didn't take it off, you just took the cover off, you can't put the cover back on. Because when it's covered, it cooks more quickly than when it's uncovered. So anything you'd be doing which is going to speed up the cooking process will be problematic. Now there is a, let's say your person takes a pot off of the fire, and it's still in the original pot, and this is on Shabbos. We're talking about Shabbos right now. Okay, it's a problem, and it's not fully cooked. You take the cover off, so it's not fully cooked. You can't put the cover back on, even off of the fire. The Mishnah Berurah says, because there's still heat there in that pot. It's going to cook. The food will continue to cook in that clear region off of the fire for a period of time. When the cover is off, it'll cook more slowly. When the cover is on, it'll cook more quickly. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should not cover it even in that situation when it's off of the fire if it's not fully cooked. Okay, so the person wants to take the chicken soup, and the first idea is you want to, let's say, take it frozen out of the freezer and put it Put it in like that, and you'll figure, okay, for 4 hours from now, my chicken soup will be totally defrosted and be hot. Is that a valid option? Can we do that? So there's interesting Ramah. The Ramah says that you can't. The Ramah in Siman Reish Gimel says that you cannot do that. You cannot, any time, and this isn't the gate, any Shabbos of the year, any time that you're putting up food either in the oven or on a crock pot, you should put it up early enough that it can get hot before Shabbos. So that has significant applications. You know, I said right before Shabbos, I'll just throw something into the oven. My kugel, I don't want to put it in earlier, I'll put it right before Shabbos. I want to put my kugel straight from the fridge into the oven, be the same problem, according to this Ramah. He says, it's lechatchila, it's a preferred way of doing it. A person should do this. This is the preferred way of doing it, he says. He says, if there are opinions which hold that you don't have to do that, and he says, the Mishabura and the Ramah says that we should be machmer for this psak. Okay. That's number one. So that option of putting it in frozen beforehand would not be a preferred option according to the Ramah. Now we passed it. Okay. Second option, I want to put the food, that's the chicken soup. I just started cooking it beforehand. Cook it, and it's not fully cooked, so whatever that means, fully cooked chicken soup. I don't know what's called fully cooked by chicken soup. But you ladies know better than me. But let's say you decide you're going to be really, throw a pot of chicken, etc. 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Shabbos, you decide you start cooking your chicken soup. You realize you don't have enough soup and you want to make another pot. So I can transfer that pot and put it in the oven. So again, we're going option with using the oven, option with the chicken soup. I can transfer that into the oven before Shabbos as long as it's 1/3 cooked. This is 1/3 of it's fully cooking. Now, what's called 1/3 cooked? In halacha, so we use it with time because it's very hard to define 1/3 cooked. Once it gets to the temperature of that it's considered hot, yatz lettuce bow. How long would it normally take to cook? 2 hours. So 1/3 is 40 minutes. So it takes 20 minutes on the fire to get hot. It gets the yatz lettuce bow, 120 degrees. Let's say it takes an X amount of time to get to that temperature. Once it gets to that temperature, it normally takes X amount of time to cook. 1/3 of that is called 1/3 cooked. Preferred is 1/2, but you can rely on 1/3. Good so far? So that's an option. Now, you want to take your chicken soup out and give some out, so you cannot put it back into the oven. You can transfer it from there onto a blech. You can take it out of the oven, serve it, still hot, you can put it back onto the blech. So you can move from option number one to option number two, and that's a valid way of returning something on Shabbos. But you can't put it back into the oven on Shabbos. One other issue, so if a person says, listen, I don't have a blech up, and I'm going to also put it, if I take it out of the oven, I can't put it back. So why don't I just open the oven door, stick a ladle in, take out 2 ladles worth of soup for my kid, right? And then I'll then put it back in the then shut the door. So can you ladle out while it's on the fire? So as we hold, you cannot ladle while it's on the fire. There is actually a chazan ish, which says that it's fully cooked. Since you can't, in a situation where you can't do chazorah, you're allowed to ladle on the fire. If you have no other option of how to do chazorah and you need to get the food, you with me, right? Right? They didn't teach you this when they teach you halacha shir. They tell you can't ladle on a fire. There's a chazan ish which says that in a case where you cannot do chazorah and the food is fully cooked, you're allowed to ladle. You can't stir it. That's all, sir. You can't go and stir it. That's all. You cannot do that. But to ladle it, which is not intending to stir it, that's not your main point. The stirring which comes is minimal and not intentional. So to ladle it out when it's on the fire, if you have another option, is available. So a person in a situation where they don't have any other place to do chazorah, they need to give the kid something now to eat, there's a chazorah that you can rely on that would allow you to do that, to ladle that situation. Good?
And you can recover it? Aren't you not allowed to cover?
It's the same. Well, according to the chazorah, they go together. That's a cool of the chazan ish. So they were telling you, because he has chumras, there's at least one cool of the chazan ish set out there, which you should be aware of. Okay. So that's the chicken soup in the oven. Okay, let's say the brisket. So again, the situation of the menu, we said it's going to be a significant liquid there together with the brisket. So it has a din of a liquid. So the option of frozen before Shabbos, we said, is not an option. Can I put it in 1/3 cook? The answer is yes. So I can put up, I can theoretically, if I want to make it hot, I can put it in, it's 1/3 cooked before Shabbos, set the oven at 250. 4 hours from now, I'll have a fully cooked brisket. The problem I'm going to have is, if I want to take anything else out of the oven earlier to give my kids soup, I can't shut the oven door. Because until it's fully cooked, I can't shut that oven door. So if I want to take food out earlier, that wouldn't be an option. So you want to put it in a situation where it's already cooked, so therefore you can open the door and close it. You can't take it out and feed your kids. Again, you do have a problem of chazor, returning it back into the oven. You can transfer it onto the blech, the same as we had before by the soup. So my wife says that her eitzah is that you set the oven at 240 in aluminum pans. And it's fully cooked, it'll stay hot and won't burn. Okay, your carrot simis is going to be basically the same points. The ratatouille is the same points. The potato will be the same points. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I have something on the range, on the blech, on the range top. So, mikradin, if I don't have blech, if I don't have a blech, I'm allowed to leave. This is for Ashkenazi, not for Sephardim. I'm allowed to leave a pot of food cooking on the fire. If I'm not planning to do chazar, I'm just planning to leave it there. I'm going to take it off and serve it. That's it. I'm going to take the chicken soup off one time. There's no blech. I have a flame going. I'm allowed to leave a pot of soup going at the Shabbos on the fire till I need it. Take it off and serve it. That's it. I can't return it, but I can take it off like that. So I forgot to make a blech before, and I don't have a blech to make. I can use that. I can rely on that. That's acceptable. I can make a blech on Shabbos. There's no problem with taking I forgot to put the blech on. The flame is there. I can take the metal blech and put it on top of the flame on Shabbos and then do chazorah. I can take the pot off, put the metal blech on top, and then put the pot back on. So I can make a blech on Shabbos. So if you forgot your blech for whatever reason, you can do it on Shabbos. What are you allowed to do with a blech? So what you're allowed to do with a blech is basically shehiyah, which is leaving it there from before Shabbos, or chazorah is taking it off on Shabbos and putting it back on Shabbos. What about nesina lechatchila? I want to take it off out of the fridge 2 hours into, and say, you know, I'm afraid this is going to get the heat is high. If I put it there, it's going to leave it there for too long. It's going to burn. It's going to dry out. It's not going to taste good. May I take something out of the fridge and put it onto the blech? So the simple answer is no. What's permitted with a blech is chazorah. I'm allowed to take something off and put it back on. I can't take something new and put it there on Shabbos. I can't do what's called nesina lechatchil. I can't place it there on Shabbos. Is there any way you could do nesina lechatchil with a blech? So there are two options. There's two ways out there where they discuss doing this in the Sina Lechatchila. It means on Shabbos, putting it on the blech. This situation would be Friday night, Shabbos morning, any Shabbos of the year. Before I go to shul, I want to take my potato kugel out and put it on the blech. So I can't do that. All right? Now, I can do it in Area C, because it won't get the atzeletis over there. I can take my potato kugel out of the fridge, put it in Area C of the blech, which is an area where the food will not get the atzeletis bow. I can do that any Shabbos of the year. Remember, Shul holds, I can do that any Shabbos of the year. So that's an option, but it won't get yatz lettuce though. It'll be warm, but it won't be hot. There's something called what's called the keder blech, or the unblech. I think it was the official title when it came out, and it tells you over there that it's endorsed by leading rabbonim that you're allowed to use it to do chazorah, to place things there on Shabbos. So what's this keder blech about? Keder blech is about that if you look at on your chart, number 5 is right top of the percolator. So that's a ferish halacha that I could take food on Shabbos out of the fridge and put it on top of the, if it's fully cooked and it's dry. If it's fully cooked and it's dry, I can take it out of the fridge, fully cooked and dry. I can take it out of the fridge and put it on top of the percolator to heat up on Shabbos. Even if it will get the Yad Siletispa over there. And I have a very, very hot percolator, right? I have a crock pot, right? I can cook it out of the fridge Shabbos morning. It's dry. It's fully cooked. Put it on top of the crock pot. It will warm up the Yad Siletispa. I'm allowed to do that. Because there is a pot full with food underneath it. So the fire is there to service pot number A. It's considered a loch. I'm not putting food on the fire. It's fully cooked. I'm not cooking. The problem is this isn't the rabbanon of placing food on Shabbos. I'm not putting food on Shabbos. I'm not putting food on the fire. The fire is there to service food number A. So somebody came along and said, I have a great idea. Let's make a blech, which is thick enough that it has an opening inside. We'll fill it with water. And now you have a pot on the fire with a flat top. And you put food on top of it. And that was the argument behind that. The problem with that is you can't use that water. It's not accessible on Shabbos. So there were many Pesachim held there was not a valid option of how to do it. They didn't tell you which Pesachim said it was a valid option. They just tell you the Pesachim said it's a valid option. Many Pesachim hold it's not a valid option. So recently they came up with a new idea. New version of this concept, which actually has a spigot. And it's very large and actually is enough that you can actually get water out of it on Shabbos. So that's clearly mutter. So if you have that unit, you want to go to your metal worker, make one for yourself. Right? So you have a unit this big, yay high, put water in, heats up the water, it's hot on top, zimta heat, put it there on Shabbos. No questions about it. You can do that. Tefillin Eretz Yisrael came up with it about a year or two ago. I got a phone call out of the blue sky. The fellow he's here in America. He wants to get a haskama from Rabbanim. Somebody told me to speak to me. I said, what? nobody's going to buy it because my name is on it. I promise you. The person who had told him that was the Chaim Yaman because the Chaim had found out about it. And so he said, that's where I go. No, it's not, I'm not going to work for you. You need somebody bigger. But it's 100% valid. They're not there on the market yet, but they're going to be out there soon, hopefully.
Okay. Would you say if we have a Kedira blech that we shouldn't be using it? Like, I know that there
but you can use it as a blech.
Okay, we wouldn't use it.
I'm not comfortable using it with the heter. I'm not comfortable with it.
Okay.
Now, I will say the following, and we'll see as we go along, that there's a heter from Shlomo Zalman, which Rabbeinu Zatzal held of. I have a blech, and I want to put another pot on top of the blech, an empty pot. So an empty pot normally, if it's directly on the fire, is not sufficient to put there on Shabbos. It has to be a pot which has food. That's clear in Halacha, Reish and Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says it has to be a pot which has food. A pot which is empty, you're not allowed to put it there on Shabbos, the Chachila, you're allowed to return. But if I combine the fact that there's a blech, number one, and then I put a pot there on top of it, and then I'm going to put the food on top of the pot, that's going to be mutter even on Shabbos. Again, it has to be fully cooked and it has to be dry. Right? So a person will take a cookie sheet or take an aluminum pan, turn it upside down, put it on top of the blech, and now I can take my kugel out of the oven and put it there on Shabbos. Rishon Mazalman Zatzal held that was mutter. I spoke to a person today. He tells me that nowadays most of the seminaries teach that, of course, most of the Rebbeim and seminaries are Tamidim of Rosh Hashanah Zalman, or Tamidim of Rosh Hashanah Zalman Tamidim. So that's why they say it's okay. Some person disagree with it. I want you to know that, and do not hold it to Heter. So if you want to be Machmer, there is Machmer to be Machmer. But that is a Heter which is reliable. You can do that. Now, one saving grace for the Keder Blech. Saving grace for the Keder Blech is. There's an opinion which holds that a case where it's fully cooked and it's dry, which is anywhere situation, doesn't need any of this stuff anyway. So if you combine that opinion with Keder Blech, it's mutter. So there are some places which say we can be mutter. Even the Keder Blech is not a valid option, it's not itself. Theoretically, I can take something on a regular Blech if it's fully cooked and dry and put it on there, on Shabbos. Now, we don't do that. But you want to combine the two opinions together, so some say that's what to rely on. So I can't tell you this is what to rely on. If personally, I'm not comfortable with it. Okay, so the person has he so he we're that'd be an option. I could take it out from the oven, excuse me, from the fridge, heat it up on Shabbos. That works for your dry solids. So it's going to work for the potato kugel. It'll work for the carrot tzimmis, which is a dry solid, because there's not a lot of liquid there. Even though it's moist, that's not a problem. For your chicken soup, it's not going to work because it's a liquid. For the brisket, so if you're making a brisket during the year, normally maybe that, but for the brisket for the Shabbos by the Seder, where it's going to be a lot of liquid, so that would not be a solution. And for the ratatouille, depending on how you make ratatouille, assuming you're going to make it with a lot of there's liquid in there, it would not be a solution to take it out of the fridge. But for a dry solid, again, dry solid doesn't mean bone dry, right? So the carrot tzimmis is moist, but that's considered a dry solid because it's not going to be liquid pouring out from it independently. Okay, so my pot of soup is on the blech, and you have to be aware that you cannot ladle out from the pot of soup while it's on the fire. Area A of the blech. Area B of the blech, you may ladle. You can move it, you don't have to take it off of the blech. You can move it from area A, which is over the fire, to area B, where it's hot enough there that the food will be yatzel et esbo. But it's not directly on the fire, and you may ladle from that position.
So you can't put it back to A?
And then you can move it back to A. Yeah.
You can.
Yes.
You can, even if you let go and everything?
Yes.
You cannot just take it off. If you're using the container blech, like even if you're using it as a regular blech, whatever it is,
yeah.
I feel like A, B, and C are non-existent. Because the water evenly disperses all the heat. The whole thing, like it's a metal, it disperses the heat in such a way that A, B, and C are non-existent.
Well, A, directly over the fire has to remain the halachic issue. You have to deal with it on top of the fire. I think it's still an issue. But B and C, if there's no...
Then, I'm saying, like, okay, fine. Right, right. I'm, like, on top of the fire, just, like, there's no... And I guess, but it doesn't... It's not hotter there than it is anywhere else on the blech because it's dispersed through the water.
Okay, I, it's a good question. I never thought about it. I hear the question. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So if before Shabbos you have five pots, you want to leave all your pots on the blech, so obviously you cannot put all five pots over the fire. But you can arrange them right close enough to the fire that they're in area B, that you can take off your soup, you can move all of your pots over the fire. You're allowed to move from B to A. You cannot move from C to B or A, but you can move from B to A. You can go from A to B. So without any other conditions of chazor. It's on the heating source that it's not called you took it off that you have to put it back. The only difference in A and B is only one difference is ladling. Rashi says the only difference is you cannot ladle directly over the fire, but you can ladle out from area B. Area C is, as far as we're concerned, is an irrelevant area. Area C, we had told you could take out of the fridge and put it there. It's not on the fire. It's not part of the blech functioning. Okay, so then we just go across the page. So the brisket, because there's significant liquid over there, it will function the same thing as your soup. If you want to leave the brisket on the range top in the blech, that would be what you'd want to do. So you could leave it there. You're not going to be cooking it there, but theoretically, as long as it's that situation, you can leave it there. In this situation, you can leave it there, since it's covered, the fire is covered, you can leave it there even if it's not cooked at all. You don't even have third cooked in that situation. Yes?
I just want to make sure I'm clear. When you're moving things from A to B or C or whatever it is, this is talking about when it started there on Shabbos. This is not talking about having a pot on a...
Right, I'm talking about... correct. I'm talking about the case you have a pot on... You're leaving your blech before Shabbos. It's on the fire. Since it's an area A or B, you can move back one to the other without a problem. That is true. That's a good point. If I go on Shabbos and I turn the pot upside down and I put something there, I can't later on change it to take the pot off and put it there. I mean, it's had to... On Shabbos, I want to take something out of the fridge. I can't put it onto the blech afterwards, right?
And there's no problem with putting the pot directly on top of the part A?
No difference.
Okay.
Once the fire is covered, So I can leave food there from before Shabbat, which is not even a third cooked. So I could put up something theoretically right before Shabbat, which is raw, let it sit there on the black and cook. And that would be, that's not a problem. Because the fire is covered.
So I can take soup from the freezer, put it on right before Shabbat?
No.
It can't be frozen, but if I said it could be raw. It could be raw but not frozen?
I have to meet Tanoi Chazor, which means I have to put up there early enough beforehand that it's going to start cooking before Shabbos. I can't put it right before Shabbos.
But it has to get hot.
It has to get hot.
But if you put, everybody's into the whole thing with the cholent pot that has to be far enough before Shabbos that it started to cook at least a little bit. But you're saying that if you have a lining, you could put it in 5 minutes before Shabbos. It's hot.
No, well, so I can.
And it's fine.
If I have it cooked, if I have it, it's not a third cooked. Let's say, for argument's sake, let's say cholent takes 6 hours to cook, right? So a third cooked is 2 hours. Let's say, for argument's sake, I don't know. Well,
right.
So it hasn't cooked 2 hours yet. It's not a third cooked, but it's hot.
Yeah.
So, regardless of the issue of heat, I've solved my problem. So if the fire is covered, that's most.
Right. So I just put a lining in the cholent pot, right, and you're fine. You're fine.
People didn't want to eat it
for a minute. Okay. Okay, I do want to talk. Some people think that there is a heter, even when the fire, let's say, into the oven, the oven is not considered the fire is covered. The only case where you have the oven considered fire covered, if you have the good old Pesach inserts that used to have for the ovens, is all sides. That would be a heter, which, who has those anymore nowadays, And it's right, not in America, right? The inserts. So that would allow you, create the equivalent in the oven as if it'd be a fire, covered fire. But we don't, that's not a relevant point. A person wants to put this, there's a halacha called Kidruch Yosef. If I have a totally raw meat, or I have a meat which is cooking, I put one piece of raw meat in there right before Shabbos. That heter only works if I'm not planning to eat the food for Friday night. I'm planning to eat my cholent Shabbos morning. It's totally raw. It's not going to be edible by tonight. And tomorrow morning it'll cook without doing anything, so I'm going to forget about it. But if I need it for tonight, that's not a heter. That's number one. So it only works if you want to have the food. And it only works for meat. It doesn't work for vegetable. The idea behind meat being that meat takes a long time to cook. There is a heter called Kidruch Yosef. You have a totally raw dish.
Okay.
And I put it up right before Shabbos, right? So I'm going to forget about it because I can't. It's not going to get even. The whole reason why Chazal worried because the guy's going to go and try maybe on Shabbos and he make it cook quicker by stirring the coals, etc. It's not going to help. It's meat. It takes hours to cook. It's not going to be ready for the meal anyway. So I'm doing it obviously for the next morning. Well, the next morning it's going to cook without stirring it. So why am I going to stir it? That's the argument. Besides being an OCD, Jewish mother. Why should I want to stir it? They weren't worried about that possibility. So that argument is a heter that works only for meat because it takes a long time to cook, and only if you plan to eat it the next morning. It doesn't work for anything other than meat, and it doesn't work for you plan to eat it by the night. The third thing, and it doesn't work if it's partially cooked before Shabbos. Because we said it has to be a third cooked. So it has to be either totally raw or a third cooked, unless you cover your fire. Well, the problem is we're Mekabel Shabbos early. We don't wait till the last minute to Mekabel Shabbos. So this is a heter if you have your husband home and he's at the last minute before he runs out to the shul or he daven mincha already and it's right before Shkia and he drops the piece of meat in. So that's matzah the whole your cholent pot for tomorrow. But you're not going to do that. You're putting up 20 minutes before Shabbos. So 20 minutes already starting to cook. It's a hot cholent pot. So the meat's going to start cooking right away. So it's not totally raw. So the heter doesn't work. So it's not a relevant. I just want to point out because somebody mentioned to me that they think people think it's a heter which works. It's not a practical heter. So just saying that's not just point out that's not relevant.
Same for crab pots as well.
Same thing for theoretically it'll be a heter for a crock pot, right? So if you get your husband to stay home till the last minute, you have a heter.
What? I mean, it's frozen when you put it.
It's not going to get hot. Then you have the heat problem. That you're not supposed to put
raw.
It up.
I thought it's still raw right before.
Yeah, if it's a raw, there's a heter of raw, right? But there's another issue of temperature wise. That's why I give the example where you had a pot which was hadn't started doesn't start cooking until it hits a certain temperature. The temperature you've met, but it's raw, so you're not issuing with the temperature. You're issuing with the raw issue. The frozen, you have a temperature problem. Okay, so the carrot simis, so that's theoretically a dry salad, so we could theoretically take that out from the fridge, assuming you have your black with a cookie sheet or a aluminum pan upside down, put on top of that. Now we want to do on Shabbos. If it's a significant liquid, obviously you'd have a problem. The ratatouille has an issue of liquid, and the tetrakugel is a dry salad, that would be a heter. Okay, number three. Three is the hot plate. So, a hot plate will function the same thing as a blech. You're leaving its food from there before Shabbos, and it's the same thing as a blech. They came along, and Rav Moshe says in a case where it has only one setting, so you can't change the setting, number one. Number two, it doesn't get hot enough to cook there. So, it's not a place where you can cook on it. So, if you meet those two criteria, so that's not doesn't go into these limitations, and then you'd be allowed to theoretically leave it there without any covering from before Shabbos. You don't need to go for katzim because you're not going to do anything anyway. Theoretically, there'd be an argument you're allowed to even put it there on Shabbos. Many hot plates do get hot enough that you can cook on them. So there are many places that are not comfortable with the heter of the plata. That say, well, it's not made to put it there lechatchila on Shabbos. The issue of cooking, putting it there lechatchila on Shabbos is not because you might change the temperature. That's not the issue. It is because it looks like cooking. Well, it's a place which you can cook. It looks like cooking. So Moshe's example, spoke about was a steam table. A steam table is only a warmer. Right? It's a metal table which you put water underneath and the water would boil and would create steam. You couldn't cook there. So Moshe says that you're allowed to take something which is fully cooked and dry and put it there on Shabbos because it's not a place of cooking. You can't change the temperature and it doesn't look like cooking because who cooks on a steam table? Right? But if your pot is something you could theoretically cook on, you could put a pot there and cook it. If it gets hot enough to do that, so then you can't use it to do the Nesil HaKhila. You can use it for Chazorah. You should cover it and use it for Chazorah. So that would be the... And then everything else is basically the same as a blech. Crock pot. So one interesting question comes to the crock pot. So you can leave it. You can do shia from before Shabbos. If it's, am I assuming there was, you know, Rishon Zalman Orbach Zatzal, the last tshuva that he issued before he was nifter, very not clear. You know, he mentioned there's a problem with using crock pots. So assuming that either we paskin, you know, that's not a problem, or you got a psak from your rav, how to deal with that. If you raise it up a little bit, it's not totally, the crockery is not totally inside the container which holds it, so it's not a problem according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. You put an empty tuna can in the bottom over there, raises it up a little bit, so it's not totally submerged inside, that's sufficient to address that issue. If you're familiar with the issue, I don't know.
No,
right?
Not familiar.
Okay, so leave it like that. Okay. you want to leave it there from before Shabbos. You don't leave it there before Shabbos. It's fully cooked or it's a third cooked, and you want to leave it there. Your cholent, let's say, your easiest case, you're leaving your cholent, okay. But let's say for Friday night, you want to leave your chicken soup there. You know, you can leave the chicken soup in a crock pot. It keeps it warm, keeps it hot, and you'll take it out three hours later. So you can do that. Without a problem. You could leave it there. You should cover the knobs. And you should, if you want to do chazor, you should cover, if you want to take it off and put it back on, you should cover the knobs, and you should line it with something, there's a line in there. Let's say a timer. You can't ladle out while it's on the crock pot. It's on a heat source, you can't ladle while it's on a heat source. I could theoretically set my timer, put the crock pot on a timer that it should turn off at 12 o'clock, and now I can ladle from the crock pot without a problem. What about the other way around? I'm a smarter, I want to have the timer turn on. Instead of having the timer turn off, I want to put my timer that it should turn on at 10 o'clock at night. Leave my chicken soup, or leave my brisket in there from before Shabbos. Put it in for Shabbos and have the timer set to turn on at 10 o'clock and this way by 12 o'clock. So we'll have something nice and warm without any problems of drying it out, etc. You could do that. But you have to put it there before Shabbos. You can't put the food there on Shabbos. If you put the food there before Shabbos, so you have, it might sit for 2 hours at room temperature. You know, I'm not discussing the bacterial issues of, you know, safety issues or that. You have to ask your... But you could put it there from before Shabbos and have the timer turn on and heat it up on Shabbos. You can't have the timer turn on Shabbos and put it there on Shabbos before the timer turns on. Obviously, when the timer turns on, you can't do that. That's the interesting thing when you have a crock pot. Everything else basically the same as your blech. There's no way to do nesilin lechatchila on Shabbos. You can't put it there on Shabbos. You can leave it there before Shabbos. You can take it off with intent to return it. You can put it back in there. And that'll apply to, and you have to meet the conditions of chazara, that it's fully cooked, it's still warm, and the fire is covered. It means you've lined your crock pot with something. And you took it off with intention to return it, and you're still holding on to it. The best way to do that, obviously, is two people. So one person, you know, or if you're good at it, you can do it with one person. Right? You hold the thing, you ladle with the other hand. It gets a little bit complicated sometimes.
Can you use a crock pot for like next for the morning to put the kugel, if you put enough like extra foil or something for the warming part, not to fully cooked potato kugel.
You want to put it there on Shabbos?
On Shabbos.
Yes.
Can you do it?
Yes, you could do that. When we get to number six, we'll mention there's two things you have to be aware of, two points you have to be aware of when you get to that, doing that, but that's okay. Everything else, I think, should be good. Okay, top of the percolator, top of the crock pot, so you can put it there on Shabbos as long as you know there's no issue of bishul, so it's not going to help you for liquids, if they're going to get the yatz lettuce bow, they're not going to get the yatz lettuce bow. You know, that's not what you're they're not. It's only warm. Yes.
Just to clarify, when you talk about chazara and still holding the pot,
yeah.
Does that mean you can set it down as long as you have your hand on it, or you literally have to?
No, you can set it down. We hold it. You can set it down on the table on the table as long as you're still holding on to it. Yeah. Okay, one issue, going back to number four, I just want to point out, if whatever reason you're worried that your cholent is burning, right, so you want to take off the cover to see, so you have to be aware that taking off the cover is mutter, putting it back on when it's on the fire, that you shouldn't be doing. So if you want to take it off of the fire, open it up, check it, put the cover back on, and put it back on. If it is drying out, so you can add water from the percolator. If it is drying out, you can add water from the percolator. You can either do that directly under the percolator. Just be aware that if you do that, you might have problems with making your percolator fleshig. The steam of the cholent going up, so you don't want to put it nearby, leave it far away, so that the steam will have time to dissipate a little bit. You could put water in a cup, pour it into your cholent. You cannot stir the cholent. To add the water in. You can put it in, and then you can put it back on the fire.
Even if it's off the fire, you can't stir it?
To go, but come on to stir it in, you should not do.
But you can stir it as you ladle it out, and then...
You can ladle it. You can ladle it.
So, but, like, lots of times it'll be, like, the meat's on one... I can't, like, stir it so that everybody gets a little bit of the meat, or, like, so that it's even when I'm putting it in the dish?
The Mishabura over there raises the issue that there is a sheet which holds that it's osir. He says it's better to be machmer for it.
You mean after you take it off?
Yeah. Right. You're talking about when you were adding water. You weren't talking about after you take it off.
But now you can't
add water unless you take it off, though.
No. But now we're talking about after you took it off. Just you take it off to serve it.
And you're saying you can't stir it once you
see.
So
even if you take it off, the Mishnah Berurah says it brings an opinion which says that it held it's better to be machmir on that, not to stir it. You can ladle it, but you shouldn't stir it.
Yeah. Put it into, like, take it from the crock pot, put it in the serving dish.
Do whatever you want. Once it's a serving dish, you can stir it to your heart's content. You can stir it to your heart's content on the situation. Okay.
Just one more quick question. The crock pot, you can use it for the morning to put for potato cocoa, but what if on top of the cholent, what if I took my cholent? Like, it's empty crock pot, but I put enough foil in it. Can I use it for warming?
I don't think so. It has to be something with food inside in between.
It's food, okay.
Okay, number six, insulating from before Shabbos. So, theoretically, you know, there's a halacha that hatmana from before Shabbos, you insulate something before Shabbos, is mutter. But it's not going to, any insulation you're going to do is not going to keep your food warm for 4 hours. So, here's an idea. So I'll take my, I won't make the blech, so I don't want my blech to throwing all this heat. So I'll make the fire and the blech minimal. I'll put the pot on the fire, and I'll cover it with towels so I keep the heat in. So I use the insulation together with the heat will solve my problem. Usher to do that. You cannot insulate when there's a heat source. Even before Shabbos, you cannot hatmana b'moisif hevel, something which adds heat is also even from before Shabbos. So you cannot set it up from before Shabbos to have a heat source, and then my pot on top is covered totally covered. Insulating means fully covered.
What about draping a towel over it? So like.
So what you can do is the following: if it doesn't touch, it's mutter. So you have your pot. Let's say it's not just a big pot. Put a big platter on top. Then put the towel over the platter. The towel doesn't touch the walls. That's mutter. So that it's not called insulating because it doesn't touch. Making sense?
So if the towel's draped just on top of the pot, not around the whole side, that's not good either.
If it's just on top, it's
mutter. If it's on a bluff,
it's
mutter.
Right.
If it's on a
bluff,
or...
And any situation where...
Like
the
bluff,
well, the most common issue that you're all going to have, if you have a percolator, you want to insulate your percolator. You want to put something over the percolator to keep it hot. So there's a heat source there, and you're insulating the percolator. It's the same problem. So as long as it's not fully covered, it's mutter. So you just put it on top, not the sides. Right, that'll be fine. Right.
But I heard the same thing was true, like if I had my pot of soup and I put it so that it's mostly covered, but the back side is all open.
That'll also be the same thing.
The front side is all open. So it doesn't have to be specifically that it's not touching. It just has to be that the whole thing isn't.
Yes. Okay, I'm saying two different points. Number one, I can have if part of it is open, it's not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Even if you theoretically cover the whole thing, if it doesn't touch, it's also not a problem because there's airspace in between. The airspace diminishes the power of the hatmana, and therefore it's not a problem. So you could do that.
Which one's better in terms of keeping it warm on your
practically, you have to call my wife. Okay. Now, I do want to say an example where this gets negaya is, so what's called insulating? So I take my kugel, right, and I want to put it on top of my crock pot. So there's a heat source underneath, and I'm putting it on Shabbos. So is that called hatmana? It's totally covered. It's in a foil. So the pot is not a problem. It's the insulation of the pot. So if I have the layer of foil which covers the kugel is called like the pot. But if I put a second layer of foil around it, that's called insulating. So I understand what I'm saying? So I can't now take my kugel on Shabbos, put it on top of the crock pot. There's a heat beneath and it's insulated. How's it insulated? It has two layers of foil. The first layer of foil is the pot. And the second layer of foil is insulation around the pot. And it's totally covered. So I'd have to open up the second layer somewhat if I want to do that. So you've got two layers of foil. Now, I don't care how thick your wall is. So you could take a piece of foil this big, wrap it up five times, and then wrap the foil in it. That's a thick wall. But if it's two separate sheets of foil, that's one piece of foil is the pot, and the second sheet of foil is insulation around the pot, and that's going to be a problem.
So there always has to be an opening.
Or, so that answers, you have an opening in that situation.
If you, so the
if
pot
you
on the bottom.
Potato kernel and one piece of tinfoil on top, and you put it on top of a crock pot,
no problem.
Or a percolator or whatever it is, it's fine.
Fine, right. As long as you don't put, you don't wrap the foil with a second layer of foil. Wrap the pickle with a second layer of foil.
But lots of times they do this in case, like, for example, let's say, even things like dry things or things like carrot simus, which is a good example, where it's like dry, but there could be a little teeny bit of liquid. I'll do it just for practicality that I don't need, like, the teeny little bit of juice. If there's, like, a whole, if anything's wrong with the thing, I'll do it just because I don't want things getting dirty. Like, I'm not doing it. And sometimes I won't wrap it around. Sometimes I'll, like, make, like, an extra layer around the percolator just because I don't want things getting dirty.
Okay. Okay. So if it's not fully closed, it's for sure not a problem. But even if it is fully closed, Ramesha says, points out, if your intention is not to add heat, is to keep it clean, it's mutter.
Okay.
So if I put in a second layer, not because I want to have another layer keep the heat in, my goal is to keep the dirt out.
I cooked it that way because it was, you know, I was cooking fish at the same time, whatever it is. Like
that I'm not sure.
Then, like, it's not purposeful. It's not to keep in heat. It's just because it was cooked like that for halachic reasons, and it's double wrapped because it's double wrapped.
That I'm not sure about. But he says, you know, if your intention was specifically to keep it clean or it shouldn't dirty something, that's okay. Okay, so once you're not getting, you know, see if you're doing this, a full bona fide halacha katmana where the heat source is not permitted, and that would be an issue all across your all across the chart. There are some aids on how to do it, and that'll work for any of them. But it has to be done from before Shabbos. Now, I want to take it out and feed my kids. Can I put it back into the hatmana? So the halacha is you can return to hatmana on Shabbos. So you can return it back to a situation of, you can take it off out of a situation of hatmana, and you can return it back in the situation of hatmana. That's considered an extension of your original hatmana, and that would be permitted. So theoretically, I could put my kapata soup, put this big platter around it, drape the towel all over, you know, my down quilt all around it, so it's just nice and hot, you know, right?
Nice fire, right?
Right, you know, so, and, you know, I can do that. So then I can open it up, take some of it out. Again, if it's on the fire, I can't ladle. I can move it over, ladle out, put it back in, and that will be permitted on Shabbos.
And then re-drape.
Okay. Just a few other points. Just we're aware of it's the night of, you know, since it's Shabbos, not Yom Tov. Obviously, you have to worry about cooking issues. So there's a few other things you have to be aware of, just the Seder night issues that comes out on Shabbos. One of them is salt water. You should make sure you do the salt water before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos.
Making salt water on Yom Tov is mutter. Making salt water on Shabbos, you do a small amount, and it should not be too salty. If you got to make it, you can make it on Shabbos. Your Kerein, obviously, you're going to do beforehand. Grating is going to be a problem on Shabbos. Barer is a problem on Shabbos. Barer and Yom Tov is much more kuldic. I think I gave a share about that once upon a time, about the difference between Barer and Shabbos and Yom Tov. I'm not going to get involved in that right now. So those are the things that I thought of. If you have any questions, I'll take questions. If not, yes.
Can I just clarify? If all my food is in the oven from before, and it's all cooked, then once I open the oven, I can't close it again. So if I'm going to open the oven.
No. If it's all fully cooked.
Everything's cooked.
Right.
Everything is cooked before, and I put it in before I bend the oven.
Right.
When I open the oven.
I can.
For whatever reason, I can close the oven again?
Yes.
Everything's cooked. So I can open and close the oven as I wish.
I thought if the oven is on and you want to take out your challah, you have to take out everything.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Rabbi Heinemann holds you can't close the oven.
Okay.
What? What?
But.
I disagree.
Okay.
So, I don't know who you learned from, but there's plenty of people out there who say, you can't close the oven. Yes, that is true. You probably did learn that. You know, there are many. The way I understand Ramosha's Shuvah, I think it's very clear that you could close the oven.
So as long as the food is cooked
in it. That is
as long as the food is fully cooked.
And you can put it back. You can take out, feed your kids.
No. You cannot do chazara into the oven. You cannot take out from the oven and put back into the oven.
But I can take something out and leave everything else in.
You can take. Yeah. You want to open up and take out the soup and close the door and leave everything else in.
Somebody's kids and put it on the blech.
Right.
Okay, so I can keep opening and closing it.
Theoretically.
This is if the oven's on, right?
This is if the oven is on.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
No, I didn't say that. What do you mean if the oven is on?
Meaning if you have the oven on at 240 to keep, or 200 to keep things warm, whatever it is, to keep things warm. I just wanted to make sure you weren't talking about, like, lots of times what I'll do. This is not obviously for Seder, that's a very long time. I'll just turn the oven off right before Shabbos and then take out the challah and shut it and take out the whatever. You're talking about if the oven's on.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
The challenge we're dealing with is thermostat issues. That when you open it, you're letting the air in, and when you close it, you're affecting the thermostat issues.
And then I'll turn off.
So Heinemann holds that. When I open it, I don't shut it again. I really don't care what happens afterwards with the thermostat. It turns on. It becomes like an enemy's coven. So therefore, the first act is not a vada. It's going to do anything. And what happens afterwards is I couldn't care less because I took everything out already. That's what he holds. He holds that there's an issue of you're causing the fire to go on and off by opening and shutting. And that's a problem on Shabbos. He doesn't hold a problem. After you know, Reb Henkin held was a problem. Reb Henkin sets out, held was a major problem. Rav Moshe disagreed with him.
It's not a matter of better, like it's better not to. You're saying that it's okay to do it.
I think it's mutter. I can't tell you. Our place can say it's a problem. You know, and they say it's better not to. You know,
it's in the Shabbos mode.
If it's a Shabbos mode, this is all bets are off. If you have a Shabbos mode, so assuming the Shabbos mode works. Shabbos mode for Shabbos just means that it's not going to affect the temperature.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's Shabbos mode for Yom Tov is a whole different ballgame. For Shabbos, Shabbos mode is
less.
Right. Right. Okay. Very good.
Thank you.